This
is Mythical.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits, the podcast where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time, usually. I'm Link.
I'm usually Rhett. And this week at the round table of dim lighting, this is the first of what we're calling minis. Four minis that we're doing over the next month. Things get a little bit...
Well, it's not a month. We're halfway into July, and we're going
to have... Well, four over the course. A month can be from mid to mid.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I've had this problem for a month. Well, is it exactly the month of July? Well, four weeks. You know, a month is a length of time.
You just blew my mind.
Like, when you say your kid is 18 months old, do you... And they were born on July 15th.
Hey, I'm not... You don't need to convince me, man. You already blew my mind.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I've been...
A woman is pregnant for 9 months, 40 weeks, really.
So now I have, if I want to say a proper month, I need to say calendar month?
I think everyone else just does this automatically, instinctively in their mind without thinking about it. So just trust us all.
Well, hold on, let me think about it.
So we're doing a month, 4 weeks in a row of these minis. We did this something like this last year.
I mean, I will say when you say we're doing a month, it does seem like...
Well, now you're going to... Here, okay, what you're doing right now is you're appealing to the... Link's got a point, people. And those people just need to be quiet sometimes. Because if Link didn't say anything, you would have thought what I said made total sense. But now that he's brought something up, you're going to be like, Link's got a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, Link has made a point. Does he actually have one?
I've got a point. I made it.
4 weeks. Okay, I'll change for everyone.
For the next 4 weeks.
We're doing minis.
Well, for the next 3 weeks.
And you know what?
Today.
These are going to be about a half hour long. And we're not apologizing for it. We love you. End of story.
Because let's explain what's really going on here.
Okay.
We're going on vacation.
Well, vacation is probably the wrong term. We are taking our prescribed mental and emotional health break that we have now built into our year.
Which do you need
is
to answer
the well, let's see. I might need to answer this actually. This is Shepherd. He and Locke are still in North Carolina. Let me see here.
Okay.
Yep. You know, first of all, hold on. First of all, I can say hello first. You don't have to start talking every time. I can say hello, and then you can say hey, Dad, after that.
He's talking to his son on the telephone. His son's doing most of the talking right now. He's just
okay,
listening.
So hold on a second. So
now he's talking.
You and Locke and Dante went to the creek at night? Do you know how much poison ivy you probably walked through?
He's asking about his personal safety. He's in total dad mode right now.
Okay. Did you put any insect repellent on?
He's being kind of judgy.
Have you checked for ticks?
He's pretty passive aggressive.
Like, seriously, walking around in June in the woods of North Carolina, like, you're just like tick magnets. You have to think about these things.
When his son called him, is this what he thought he was going to get?
Did Locke check over all over him?
Lecture. I wonder why he actually did call.
Okay, so you're saying you got what dirty? You got your like shoes and your pants, and you don't want to wash them because they'll get other stuff dirty. Is that what you're saying?
He's asking a laundry question.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Well, I'm going to be there for most of July. So you wouldn't get them until the end of the summer.
They're still talking.
So why don't you take a... Well, here's what I would do. Why don't you take a trash bag, put them in a trash bag, and bring them home?
See, that's what dads do. We come up with solutions.
Okay.
It usually involves...
Is everything else good? You guys are about to leave?
Maybe duct tape.
Did you call mom and did you text her and ask her?
Yeah, but she probably didn't answer. That's why he called him.
Okay. Just make sure that lock checks for ticks, too. Okay. Love you. Just bye.
Anywhere there's hair. You know what I'm saying?
They're, you know, we left early for North Carolina, so they were there. They had another night there. And it's just like, so they're like responsible for like getting everything, like they're the last ones to leave the house that we won't return to for, I mean, family will be there between now and then, but.
Well, it's good that he called you. Is this all part of the podcast or did we cut that out?
Oh, it's all part of the podcast.
Okay, good. Because you didn't tell him that he was being recorded, but I mean, he's a minor. He's
could he? Could he hear? Could you hear him?
I could hear like.
No, we couldn't hear him.
You know, both of my sons, for some reason, this is why I said it at the beginning. Every time they call you before you say hello, they say, "Hey, Dad," and they've always done that. And I used to mention to them, then I stopped, but I just thought I'd do it because I knew I was being recorded.
They think that you're just answering the phone or just waiting for them to talk, I guess.
I've tried to teach them phone etiquette, you know, to a certain degree. I was like, when you call somebody, let them greet you because that's your confirmation that they are engaged.
Yeah, they're listening. They're
but
actually
as soon
connected.
As he, hey, Dad, which I guess is a really efficient way to start the conversation, but I kind of want to say hello. Hey, son. What's up? I have many different things I could say.
He doesn't come from a world where a connection has to be established.
Is this like a thing that happens with other kids? Or is this just my children?
I can't say that it's ever happened to me.
They went and got really dirty last night.
In the dark.
In the dark, going back to the creek, and his jeans and his boots that he likes are all messed up. And so he was like, are you going? I don't want to bring them. Are you going? In a couple of weeks, and you can bring it back. And I was like, well, I'm going to be there. Back to what we were saying, our mental and emotional health break that we have now built into the middle of the summer schedule.
Yeah.
Which I will be in North Carolina for most of that time. But I would be keeping his boots. He's going to be at some like summer program for music that he's doing. He's going to want his boots. So once he realized that, I dadded out and said, put him in a trash bag and bring him back.
That was so good.
And
man.
He said, I'll do that.
Yeah.
You know? And one day,
dad to the rescue.
We can only hope he will just think of that solution himself.
Mm-hmm. Or why not just wash the boots?
Because he has to leave in like 10 minutes.
Oh.
And he has
that's why he
just
even
woken up. And I sent them a text with a list of the things that they needed to do to the house to. And they actually both individually called me to confirm things. So maybe they're learning.
Okay. We're both hot off of trips. We're a little worse for wear because of it. You said you got in at 1:30 last night?
Yeah, I took on Thursday night. So this is for thankfully, my nephews, who aren't the same age, ended up somehow syncing up and graduating college at the same time. Thank you guys for doing that, because it was one trip back to North Carolina to celebrate. And we celebrated all weekend. We had festivities on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's a lot.
And there was karaoke. There was a barbecue truck. I ate brisket with a fork. There was a curry truck. There was an ice cream truck.
Whoa.
There's multiple trucks. There was a tent with tables. There was karaoke. I sang Lady in Red.
That one, huh?
Jesse and I sang Islands in the Stream.
You sang Lady in
Red. Lady in Red.
That song?
Yeah, that's the one I sang at the gay bar in Atlanta when you were on your way and you never showed up.
Oh, it's your new karaoke song?
And you got into a fight with the Muppets.
Yeah.
Now, when I go to a real karaoke place, I bring it down a step. Because you can do that at a real karaoke place.
You can? Mm-hmm. You can ask them that?
If you go to like a Korean karaoke bar in Los Angeles, there will be an option to take it down as many steps as you want. Any song you want.
But then it gets weird when you're like trying to.
Well, one step, nobody notices.
Yeah, no one will notice.
Do you know
but even knowing where to start, if you take it down three steps, then you're going to be lost, right?
I don't think so, because it's just you just follow the chords. Do you know that
if you're musically inclined?
Do you know that virtually every musician who writes songs that are really hard to perform on the record, performs in a different key when they perform in concert. Hmm. Super common tactic.
I can believe it.
Totally makes sense.
I wouldn't say that I knew it, but I can believe it.
But it, yeah,
you're and right. It's and you really can't tell,
right? Because it makes it impossible to do that every single night when you're like on the record. I'm going for it.
Oh yeah,
but I'm gonna do that every damn time we go out. So a step or two sometimes.
Okay, so now to replay what you said in light of this. So I, when you sang Lady in Red, you went for it because you didn't lower the key.
Yeah, and I would say it's out of my range, and it is. I would say it because it is.
But you're singing your falsetto.
No, I stay in chest voice the whole time.
Lady in red is dancing with me.
Okay.
Cheek to cheek.
This is part.
There's nobody here.
Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just you and me. It's where I want to be.
This is the part. And I can hide. I'm actually singing higher than the key is actually.
I don't think you are.
No, because first of all, it was nighttime.
It's morning.
It's nighttime when I sang.
What is the next part? Go for it.
I can hardly read. I would do that, but I did it, and I actually, it wasn't that I didn't get to the note. It's that I could not find the other notes around it. But like, I got all the way to it. You know, it's family karaoke.
Okay.
So it was fine. It was, you know, and I was looking at my wife who was wearing blue, and at the end I changed it to Lady in Blue, and I just looked at her and embarrassed her a little bit. Anyway, yeah, I said I did that, but they synced up their graduations. I mean, that's just the way it worked. But I took the red eye. Mm-mm. On Thursday night, and I had a layover in Atlanta. I'm in the Atlanta airport at 3 a.m., you know, just the middle of the night.
Nothing's open.
Nothing's open.
And you're there.
Your eyes are barely open.
2 hours? An hour?
2 hour layover. 2.5 hour layover.
Ugh.
And, but I was able to, once we got in and we went straight to the cabin, I took a 4 hour nap, which it turns out I can nap when I don't sleep at night.
I bet you could, yeah.
And then we partied all weekend, and then I took another. For some reason, Delta, you're my favorite airline. You know I love you. Your options from RDU to LAX, not as great as some other airlines. Not enough direct flights if you don't want to leave at 6:30 a.m.
Which is tough.
And so
when you're an hour
layover
away.
In Salt Lake last night, but I got in to LAX at 12:30, got rolled up into my bed at 1:30, 1:45 a.m., and here we are, ready to record a couple of podcasts and shoot a big Wonderhole video today. I'm excited about that.
A promotional.
Promotional video.
A promotional video for the season 2 premiere.
It's going to make a lot of people mad, probably, I think.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
The good kind of mad.
I celebrated graduation as well.
You did, for somebody you're directly related to.
My oldest, Lily, graduated from college. And we went up there. We did the ceremony.
Who was the keynote speaker at the graduation?
Some guy.
Some guy. Yeah, I've heard he's great.
Yeah, it wasn't anybody that I knew. He ran like a company.
Hold on. You're telling me a state school in California just gets some guy?
Yeah, right.
You know who Jessie got for her graduation that I went to that I totally forgot about until she reminded me this weekend?
Don't tell me. Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. How do you remember that?
I don't know. I just remembered. I actually didn't remember, but then I knew that someone had Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby gave her commencement address.
And that was back in the year.
It's getting awkward.
That was back in 2000, whenever she graduated, too. When.
Did he go to Carolina? He didn't go to Carolina.
No, but that was back when having Bill Cosby do your commencement was a great thing. That was before we all knew what Bill Cosby was actually about. That was when he was just Huxtable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was a big positive deal.
Yeah. He would do a lot of those.
That's a weird bragging
type
right
of,
now.
But if I'm saying contextually at the time.
Because he was America's dad.
To have Bill Cosby at that time do your commencement, you're like, okay, well, and it was Carolina, you know, so I mean, it was. Yep. But I would just think.
No. Mm-mm.
I would just think.
Maybe in some circles, this guy was somebody, but not to me.
Just some guy with a company?
Some guy with a company.
He made quite an impression. You don't remember his name. You don't remember his company. What was the point of, what was his thesis? Was it funny?
His thesis was stop.
Drop.
Drop and roll. Yeah, it was
California wildfires, man.
I mean, it's important.
Y'all gotta be ready.
Keep it top of mind, I guess, if you ever find yourself on fire. If you're doing stunt work, stop. No, it wasn't stop. It was pause. He said pause.
That's better.
Let's see, there were two other ones. Let's see if I can remember those.
Okay, wow.
Pause, listen, feel. This was his.
You stop and smell the roses? Is this what he's talking about?
Just, it's a good practice in any situation. And I've actually thought a lot about it. Not enough to remember anything besides pause, but pause.
Listen and feel.
Listen and feel. You know, you get in touch with yourself.
Okay.
It was kind of wishy-gushy a little bit, but it was short, which is nice because there was a crap ton of people to go across that stage.
Yeah, I bet.
Went off without a hitch. But the thing that I'd like to complain about and talk about at length is everything around that. I was so excited to go to the graduation. Mm-hmm. This, you know, I kept telling Christy, I was like, this is a big moment for Lily, but it's also a big moment for us. And she was like, us? This is a representation of a lot of my work that you just, yeah, okay, you might have paid for some of this.
That's it's an interesting thing to say. Yeah. You know, this is a big moment for us, too.
Well, as parents, Rhett.
Yeah. It's a milestone. It's a milestone moment.
Yeah, it's our first kid graduating from college. And yes, I totally agree. It is a bigger moment for Christy, having been Lily's primary teacher. I mean, she grew up homeschooled until freshman year of high school, yeah. I remember. So it was a big deal for Christy, and then I was glad to
and
be
you were
there too. And it was a really big deal.
You were there pausing, listening, and feeling.
Yep. The thing that I didn't anticipate or really think about was not only is this a 5.5-hour drive to celebrate a graduation, but it's also move your kid out of school weekend.
Yeah.
And we were not ready for that. Lily was supposed to have been ready. And yeah, I'm going to throw her under the bus.
You mean no boxes and stuff?
I mean, she had boxes. We showed up Thursday night, same night that you flew. We were driving down there. So because the graduation was Friday night. And then, let's see. So all day Friday, we were just getting ready for the graduation and then the graduation. And then all day Saturday, we just left the boys there to help her start packing stuff. Because after graduation, when I took her back to her house, I was like, there's no evidence of anybody being ready to move out.
Yeah, they're college students.
She was like, yeah, I just, you know, I hadn't gotten to that yet. And I was like, well, I'm going to leave you. And Madison was there, you know, Lily's BFF. So, like, they started working on boxing up stuff.
And was this everyone who lives in this house moving out of it at the same time? So what, like there's a furniture?
There's a furniture situation. Other people had moved out. By the next day, there was a whole room that was gone. By the time we showed up on Sunday morning, somebody had moved out Saturday.
But who's taking this furniture? Because you didn't
exactly.
You didn't take a moving truck up there.
Exactly. We have our SUV and we have Lily's car and we're driving two back. And then the day before we're leaving, she's like, well, I'm trying to get them to agree to keep the couch. I'm like, what? And we got this shelf over here. I don't want that. And we got this chest of drawers over here. I don't want that. And I'm like, well, I can't. What are we supposed to do? You know? So the night before, I was like, I'm not showing up hours earlier than everybody else to then take all the stuff you don't want and donate it. And then come back and pack everything and then drive 6 hours home and then unpack.
I just wasn't ready for all of this. Good news is we had manpower. We had all the siblings and the friend and, you know. But I was like, we get anything that you don't want, I want to get rid of tonight. Because tomorrow is just move it out and get the hell out of here kind of a thing. Yep. Graduate Friday, Saturday, you pack everything up, Sunday we leave. So on that Saturday, I was like, listen, I started taking, we couldn't fit anything in the car, so I started disassembling stuff that she didn't want, like IKEA-type shelving. Yeah. You know, it's like, with IKEA shelving, when it's really beat up, it's not worth donating anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And you get one screw loose and the whole thing falls apart.
And then, or it doesn't. And then you're sitting there like trying to rip it apart limb from limb just to kind of get it in the back of the car. And then you're taking the drawers out and you're putting the piece in and then you're putting the drawers back in because now it's too heavy. And then Salvation Army closes in 30 minutes or whatever it was, Goodwill. I don't know what it was.
We didn't get any help with any of this stuff. That's the difference.
Oh, yeah.
In our generation,
it was a flashback to that.
My dad never came to our apartment in the 3 years that we lived there, and he was 30 minutes away.
And you remember what happened? The place was trash, and all we did was move all our stuff out. And the same thing happened to Lily. I was like, we started moving stuff out, and I realized everything. When you move anything out, everything underneath it is completely dirty, and it's like dust bunnies that are larger than raccoons.
Yeah.
Is something crouching back there? Oh, no, it's just an accumulated dust bunny.
And they're not getting their deposit back.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, Lily, when you move out of a place.
They don't know. They don't know. They
have
to learn the hard way.
You have to clean.
We learned the hard way.
You have to clean it.
It was on my credit report, not yours, because you never signed the lease.
For years.
It was on my credit report. My credit was horrible. For years,
well,
because of this.
That's what we get for putting grip tape in the bottom of the tub so you don't slip when you're in the shower.
That's
but we
so
spelled sure. our names with it and then didn't remove it when we left. So I'm like, Lily, if everything's not cleaned, you're not going to get your deposit back. Even if they say, yes, we'll keep the couch.
Your name wasn't on the lease, but your name was on the bathroom, on the bathtub. So you should have been guilty, man.
I was guilty. I just wasn't charged. Yeah, sorry about that. We're just oblivious, right? Oh, yeah, we get all the stuff out, then they clean it. No, you have to clean it. It's what I was explaining to her. But then the other part of it, which we learned in the second apartment move where we left, was the real key, first of all, is not to be the last person out. There was one roommate that was left after Lily. And I was like, Lily, you realize you're sticking this person to have to clean everything. And you know they're not going to do it.
Yeah, and they're all going to be charged.
So we need to, listen, what we need to bring somebody in to get rid of the junk that nobody wants. Because it's everywhere. Oh, I don't want that. I'm just going to leave it. I don't want that. I'm just going to leave it. That won't fit. I'm just going to leave it. The last 3 hours of packing happens after you think you're done completely with packing. You should almost plan a completely new day once you've think that you were going to be completely done packing and moving out. Because all of that, the cataclysm you're going to leave behind is your responsibility.
Well, but
you graduated from college. Now
but here's
you're
the thing. It's not their responsibility because our generation of parents, we make it our responsibility and we end up doing all this stuff for them. And then they are going to learn a lesson when something is their responsibility. But do you think that your kid and those other kids learned the lesson about how to move out an apartment? Do you think they learned it or did you dad it up in a way that took care of it? Sounds like you dadded it up, which I would have done the same thing. Not blaming you. That's what we do. Our parents made us do everything, and we learned all these lessons. We do everything for our kids, and we probably have more dynamic emotional relationships with my kid. You can see how dynamic my conversation with Shepherd was.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, but I am very I know a lot about what my kids are dealing with emotionally, relationally, we talk about a lot of things in a way that me and my parents didn't talk about at that age. So I do agree that their level of communication is different, but the level of responsibility that is being transferred to them is way low. We were watching the NBA Finals the other night, and they were talking about one of the players on the Pacers, and the announcer was like, he was raised, you know, they have these little anecdotes that they're ready to share when somebody's doing something. He was raised in a household that had a lot of expectations. He had to make up his bed every single morning. And one morning, he didn't make up his bed, and his mother came to school and got him out of school and made him go back home and make up his bed.
Whoa.
And I looked over at Locke and Shepard, and I was like, should I have done this with y'all? And they were like, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, look at him. He's a Pacer.
He's a Pacer now.
I'd like to think that the main thing I taught Lily was desperate times call for desperate measures.
Okay, so wait until the last second and then scramble.
Yeah, so I'm disassembling crap, putting it in the back of the SUV. I'm loading it to the gills with the stuff that we didn't want so that I can get rid of it. We're going to this Goodwill. Closes in 30 minutes.
Oh, the Goodwill hates graduation weekend. They're like, oh, gosh.
We get there. All this useless shit. She's like, should we go to the front? I'm like, no, drive around back. That's where the donations go. And then there's a chain link fence, and it's locked, and there's a sign on it, and it said, even though the front's open, they don't take donations for like 2 hours before they close, which makes sense. And then there's also another sign that says, and don't leave anything here.
Yep.
On the outside.
College grad.
Don't
family,
do that.
Dad.
Dad, don't be a bad example. And I knew this was going to happen. So all the way there, I'm just like scoping left. I'm scoping right. I'm looking for any type of accessible dumpster that I can find. That, you know, gas stations, you ain't going to get to their dumpsters. All of the gas station dumpsters are behind chain link fences that are locked.
And they're all on high alert this weekend.
And they're on high alert that weekend. But then, like a ram in the thicket, I looked over past the Goodwill, down a little alleyway, and there's two dumpsters. Oh, that might even be a third dumpster. And it's broad daylight. But I'm like, all right, Lily, she's driving. I'm like, Lily, pull up the dumpster and pull up close to it. And let's get out of the car and let's get rid of this stuff. We have no other option.
What business were these dumpsters associated with?
It was a strip mall of businesses that were two levels.
Okay.
Two levels of strip mall. So I'm like, this is great.
So
not
you're spreading out the burden across multiple businesses.
Right. And there was three dumpsters there, and only one of them was full. And they weren't locked. Oh, yeah. And I opened that thing up, and I just start taking all these pieces of IKEA furniture. It is legitimately trash at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm throwing it in there. And then Lily's getting out. I look at Lily, and she's like, she's in like a three-point stance, like a Pacer, looking around. I'm like, don't look around.
Yeah.
Just look at the task at hand and be quick about it. So I'm teaching her stuff.
Yeah, you taught her something.
Yeah, you know, because looking around is guilt.
Yeah.
Looking down and doing is task.
Moving too fast is also not a great idea. You don't want darty movement.
It's a give and take there because, like, I mean, we took out the chest of drawers. Well, we took the drawers out of the chest of drawers. Then we took the chest out of the back. And then she started thinking we're going to throw it in the dumpster. I'm like, no, this is a good piece. We're going to stand it beside the dumpster.
Somebody will definitely take this.
Somebody will like that, maybe. I don't want to be the one to throw it away. So then we set it up right, and then we're starting to put the drawers back in and, like, making it nice and inviting, you know. And then I start hearing voices. I'm like, get in the car. And as we're getting in the car and I'm backing up, there's a man and a woman and a child in a stroller. And I'm like, okay.
Not very threatening.
Okay, this is not very threatening. But I bet you they run one of these businesses. It's family-owned business.
But they
oh, my
brought
gosh.
The child.
And before they could say anything to us, we skirted out of there.
No.
And I feel like
they got the license.
I don't know if I'm, I hope not.
I don't know if it was a proud dad moment, but it was a necessary dad moment. It's like, you know, you got to make it happen. Sometimes you just got to make it happen.
So the alternative was just driving back all the way with it and throwing it away somewhere.
No. Then I had to go back.
You had to go back.
Completely fill her car with stuff she wanted to keep.
Okay, got it.
To the gills.
You had to get rid of it.
To the gills. It was something, man.
If you are out there and you are in a similar situation and you don't want to follow Link's lead here, I think that the thing probably to do, if we're just going to take the ethical high road here, is find the landfill near your kid's residence, the closest landfill.
But they have to be open.
And have a plan.
They have to have a plan.
They have to have a plan. That's right. Y'all have to have. He doesn't have to have a plan. I'm just saying that's a lesson that you can learn. Lily learned. Here's what's going to happen. Lily is going to repeat what you did when she gets to be your age. But now, someone listening, and maybe you next time, maybe for your next kid, you can have a landfill plan.
I do have another one. You know? I have two more shots at this.
Right. And
or if you really want to throw money around, you can hire someone to come pick up the junk, and then you can hire someone.
What was the level of coordination with the other parents?
I never saw another parent. Stuffed, and then I think the key takeaway is when you're moving out of a roommate situation, especially with multiple in like a house, and especially in a college situation, don't be the last one to move out, because you're going to be stuck with everything.
Well, I think it's an opportunity to develop a plan so that everyone, now I realize this is asking a lot. You're graduating, you're the last thing you're thinking about.
Right.
But what you will find is that there comes a time in your life when you're experiencing something that's overwhelming, that's all, you know, consuming, but you still have responsibilities that can't fall to the wayside. And when you get to be an adult who's responsible for yourself and others, sometimes you don't have a choice. And so I'm just saying that
that's a hard pill to swallow.
It's never too
kids?
Early. And
find the local landfill.
I depended on my parents for a lot of things, right? And I think that it's gotten even more so that way for a lot of kids. You know, you're going to be on your parents' health insurance until you're 26. You're probably, a lot of people are going to be living at home after they graduate college because it is a different time than it was when we were coming up. No shame in that.
That's true.
They might be paying your rent. They might be paying your car payment, your insurance and stuff like that if they can afford it, for a little bit. They may wean you off of those things. And again, in this economy, that might be a necessary thing. But at some point, the buck's gonna stop with you. It's gonna stop with you. And you'll have to figure out how you can do something hard and do something hard and necessary and then something inconvenient and unnecessary at the same time. Like transition to a new place and then take care of your shit.
Listen to dad over here.
You know what I mean? You can go in the woods and have a good time, but you gotta check for ticks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
You can get your boots dirty, but you need to have a trash bag to transport them in.
Because the thing is if you get Lyme disease, that's going to be a lot more inconvenient than checking for ticks. A lot more inconvenient.
Yeah. I think that's also a lot more inconvenient than being caught by the dumpster owner throwing trash in their dumpster. Because, I mean, it could be worse. You could just be sitting perfectly decent furniture beside their dumpster.
Maybe they saw it and were like, oh, let's go check out that nice piece of furniture.
I bet you
that's what it was.
I bet you it's in their living
room.
That's
what it was. They were like, oh, yeah, so we can go in the baby's room. I'll paint it white.
None of the drawers, they didn't really marry when you pushed them in.
Well, you probably just had them in the wrong slot. They'll figure that out.
Yeah, they'll figure that out. They'll figure that out. It was exhilarating.
Especially if it stays out there and gets a little bit wet, then a little bit hot, it'll all work itself out.
Right. It'll bake together.
It'll line right back up.
Yeah. But we made it. We're proud dads of either graduates or nephews that are graduates.
Right. Very proud.
Sign up now to get the newest Mythical Society collectible, the Belvedere the Cockatrice Pillow Plush. It's very plushy. It's very fun.
It's huggable.
It's huggable. Also, join Third Degree of the Mythical Society by the end of July. That's July 31st. 31 days in July?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this item is included free with your membership, okay? So join Third Degree July 31st to get that cockatrice pillow plush.
But you do have to redeem it. You have to, like, go through the redemption process so we know that you want it. But it's automatically included. Okay.
Okay, that was a good one. I feel like a successful dad.
And if you think that was too short, well, you know what?
Just listen to it again.
Save it. Yeah, listen to it again. There's a lot of great wisdom in that one. or save it and listen to it along with the one we're going to release next week that we're about to record and we're going to go change clothes for.
Oh. Bye-bye.
Hey, Rhett & Link, you don't know me, but I've seen every single Good Mythical Morning, every Good Mythical More, every EarPod for probably the last year and a half. And I just want to let you know that it's 2:04 in the morning right now, and you guys have made a really big impact on my life, and I really appreciate it. So I love you guys.